Look at your Bibles now in Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to be thinking about the gift that he has given and then what is our response to that gift. In Matthew chapter 2, again, the heart of Christmas. It says in chapter 2 of Matthew in verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, "But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, he had secretly called the wise men, determining from them at what time they had seen the star. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word to me so that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they came into the house and they saw the young child, Jesus, with Mary his mother, they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Father, we are so grateful for your word. And thank you, God, that you are accomplishing purposes already just in our time of worship. How gracious you've been. How wonderful through communion. Lord, how gracious, Lord, just in seeing you work right now here and in the back with the children. May your blessing be strong upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting because I know it's football season, and when you look out at a field, you know, this green pasture called a football field, there are two teams out there. There's 11 on each on the field, and they are going at it. One group is trying to move this way, and the other group is trying to move this way, and there's people in the stands, maybe 60, 70,000, and they're all for one of those two groups out there, these two teams on the field, correct? Well, wait a minute. Pastor, did you say two teams on the field? Yeah, you're hearing good. That's nice. There's actually a third team, and there's only 7 on that third team. What? You talking about the vendors? No, I'm talking about the refs. See, there's another team on the field, and those are refs. They're on the field, and they're not for the team going this way, and they're not for the team going that way. As a matter of fact, pretty much the 60 or 70 in the bleachers aren't for those teams of referee for the most part. Very interesting. That third team on the field. That third team on the field has memorized a book. They memorized this book, and they are out there to make the calls based on where those lines have been drawn in the grass, based upon the rules that they have memorized from this book. And they aren't there to win a popularity contest. They are there to do their job. My suggest today, we're part of that third team. We are that team in this world right now. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different thoughts. Some thoughts are going this way in our world, and some thoughts are going that way in our world. But my friends, we belong to the world up there from here. And he has given us this book. And the more of this book that we can get here and here, the better off we'll be to make the calls we need to make in this life that we live right now. Amen. And so when we start to look at the scriptures today and thinking about just the direction where to go, and I try to think of clever things, and probably they're more clever for me to remember what I'm teaching, but here it is. We're talking about these wise men, and it has to do with wise people. If you want to be a wise person, listen up as we speak about spiritual things. It's how they sought him and what they brought to him. This 11 verses are about some individuals that sought him and what they brought to him. Simple in those 11 verses. Now, as we get into the text today and think about this a little bit, I'm thinking just right away of this woman that Jesus meets in John's Gospel chapter 4. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world." When we go through this today, I pray we can be like that. I pray by the end of this message, all the more in our heart, Christ is Savior of the world. We belong to him. We thank him. We bring our life to him. We love him. Now, there's going to be at the very end, a little application I'll bring out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. But for the very beginning, as we're looking at this, they sought him. You see, back in chapter 2 and in verse 1, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, wise men came from the east, and they were headed to Jerusalem." Now, they probably, we're not certain, so I always say probably. So it seems as though they may have come from Babylonian area. That's where they came from. Probably something like, on a map, about 300 miles. So the distance would be 300 miles. And it would be a very difficult distance to travel. I know your nativity scenes. You've got three wise men, three camels, and three gifts. And that's all nice. All we know about from the text is that there's three gifts. And we know there's wise men. It doesn't say anything about a camel. It looks good, though. Don't get rid of your stuff. I mean, it's fine. But they could have had white stallions, too, from Arabia or whatever. I mean, we just don't know. Now, hopefully that doesn't mess anybody up. But just look here and see. Now, when it says they're on their way, the first point that I want to bring out right now, for us right now, is that I believe that these wise men understood what it is to live a life in the Spirit. To live a life in the Spirit. Now, we're living in the New Testament where the Spirit of God comes within every believer that believes, and we have this walk by the Spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit is God, and God has always been present and always will be present, and God operated and worked through his Holy Spirit throughout the whole Bible. So when we're looking at this life in the Spirit, these men and any wise person is going to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to seek the things of God. Listen, we don't just automatically, randomly wake up and say, "I'm a seeker of God." No, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in rebellion, but the Spirit of God works and moves within our hearts and our lives, and the Spirit of God reveals who God is. You and I are not the initiators of love. 38th year, and I still have some of those wedding invitations. We made them ourselves. But his love is as powerful 38 years ago as it is today. More so, probably. So God is the initiator. And he is drawing you and me to himself. You say, "That's fine for you, Pastor. I mean, that's good that you think that. I think that you got what you need. You got God, and it's all good for you. But you don't know me." And I don't think God loves me. He doesn't love me right now. He doesn't love me because of what I'm doing or who I've been. He doesn't love me right now. And I'm going to say, you're wrong. Because God is love. And whether or not you love him, he loves you. He loves you. You can't change his opinion. God is love. He loves you. Okay. Do you have scripture to prove that? The one I think about right now and wrote down is 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Listen, not willing that any, that includes you and me, not willing that any should perish, but that all, that includes you and me, should come to repentance. In John 1:9, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. In Revelation 2:17, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts say, come. Whoever desires, let him come and take of the water freely. The Holy Spirit of God is at work. The Spirit of God is at work right now. The Spirit of God is at work in your life right now. You say, well, I'm not feeling that. I'm not experiencing that. The Spirit of God is at work right now. God isn't sleeping. He doesn't take naps. He is alive. The question is, are we seeking God like these wise men were seeking God? Are we seeking out after God? Because it tells us in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, many of you know this, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me, and you go and you pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. Is our heart too cluttered up right now? Is our mind too cluttered up? What's keeping us from seeking God? Because if we seek him, he reveals himself to us. And the fact is, he is the initiator, and he's drawing us to himself. You know, some of you are familiar with Loretta. We're able to especially this last year, be with her when her husband went to be with Jesus, and we've been kind of walking with her, but I know many of you are praying, and it seems as though she's really close to being with Jesus right now, really close. I appreciate John, just the time we've had together, and it was interesting because as we were visiting her earlier this week, and she's under 24-hour care, but as we were visiting her this week, she had not been responsive at all when we came into the home. And the caregiver, very, very nice woman, just was very kind to us, but just said she's not responsive right now. So we're able to sit down, and together we began to talk about Jesus and to see almost immediate the reaction. One who was non-responsive was responsive. And as we said, can we read God's word to you right now? Oh, please, please, please. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Because for me, I am so blessed when I see the living word of God affirmed. The Bible tells us that these bodies are on the way down. The bodies are perishing. You may not believe it, but they are. And so, but the Spirit is being renewed day by day. And to say, perhaps this may be the weakest you've ever been in your life. It may be the strongest you've ever been spiritually right now. And so ready. And as a matter of fact, when we spoke about heaven, you saw those tears, right? Because, my friends, that is our home. Our literal home, our final destination is in heaven. And how we long for that. Why can we do that? Because of the Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit that told those men, get ready and we're going to see the King. The King has been born in Bethlehem. It's been prophesied and you are the group going there. You're going to have to trust me, but giddy up, here we go. And they're off. It's that same Spirit that we need to trust today. That same Holy Spirit that's at work. When we're looking again at the second thing, so the life of the Spirit, I think the second point would be the work of the Word. So you have the Spirit of God, but then in Matthew verses 2 through 6, we read those. But you notice in those verses 2 through 6, there's the inquiry about this King. Where is he? And they refer to the Bible. Look at verse 6. So they have the Word of God right there for them in verse 6. And we see the scripture is so true, and it tells that there's this ruler, this King. He is there. And you have the Word of God. It was written by the prophet, and they had it. Actually, in Micah 5:2, it says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from old and from everlasting. My friends, stay with me right now. God has been talking since the day of creation and the sin in the garden that he's coming to redeem us. And that written word has been put out. And prophets had proclaimed this written word. And religious leaders are gathered together. And the fact is, they had the Word of God. And there was the Spirit of God. And there was the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that were there. And they missed it completely. Because they did not believe. And they did not obey the Scriptures. How many are missing out right now as believers? I know for me, there have been things I have missed out in my Christian walk with the Lord because of unbelief. Just not trusting God. Just not believing God. There's things I've missed out because I have failed just to take in God's Word and to understand. God wants to speak, but I haven't taken time for that. Now, the worst, not the worst, but it's bad. It's just things that I never obeyed. I know the truth. And in my stubbornness and in my selfishness, I have not obeyed and yielded to God. I yielded to me. And I lose out. I'm the loser on that. But we go back here and we see these that are coming together, these that are following the Lord, they had the life of the Spirit. They had the work of the Word working. What would you call Christians that are not listening to the Spirit of God and the Word of God? Perhaps it would be unbelieving believers. And God would like to change that today. He would. Hey, I used another illustration. It was on Wednesday night, and it was called an audible. Some of you know what an audible is. I had the first football illustration. I'm going to stick with the second one, okay? So here we go. An audible is an interesting, let's see, how would you say it? It's an interesting procedure, strategy. So what that means is that together with a group in a huddle, you all have aligned up together. There's 11 of us, and we call the play. The quarterback calls it. Everybody has their assignment, and everybody goes out and has the assignment. And we're going to do that assignment. And that play is going to be run on a certain number. And we've already told you what that number was in the huddle. We said that number is going to be on the second hut. So, hut. And so, the quarterback gets down there. He will look at what's going on. He'll maybe call the defense. And say, blue, 34, set, hut. hut, and the ball is snapped. But the audible is something different. In the huddle, and the team already knows that if the quarterback begins his cadence with a certain number or color, whatever they have it, the play changes. So for us in high school, the number was one. So when the quarterback came out, and if he says one, everybody on the team, on the field, we know that the next number is the new play. He's going to create a new play different from what was there. One, 88. So that meant that receivers have a new pattern. That's what it's going to be. It's called an audible. Quarterbacks do it. I'm going to bring that here to a very important application right now. Because you get together in the huddle right here, and you feel like you've got the play. You're going to run the play. It's life. You're going to move ahead with the play. This is what it is. This is what I'm doing. This is what I do. This is what I've worked for. So I get up here to life, and I'm ready to run the play. And you see there is so much opposition to you and to running the play. It's just like you didn't expect to have this opposition. You had it all down. You're ready to go, but just things are happening, and they're coming against you, and you're in trouble. May I suggest that we have ears to listen through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. But I will suggest today, right now, that God loves to call the audibles. God loves to call the audibles. God has allowed that opposing defense. You were all set and had it all together, and you could already see yourself in the end zone. And he says, not today. Not today. Because you'll get in the end zone and you'll do all the celebration and bring the glory to you. So, not today. But I want to help you. So you get up there, you can get absolutely all frustrated and get mad and angry and irritable. You can start blaming other people, blame life, blame God. And God says, you haven't even let me give you the audible. If you just be still and know that I am God, I will tell you what the next play is. I have it for you. And I want to give it to you. And I want to help you out. And as you see here in this text, you see this entourage coming, and Herod's nothing but trouble. And it says, you see in verse 3, he troubled all of Jerusalem. Now, as we're looking at this, I had already mentioned that in our Christian life, there's the life of the Spirit, there's the work of the Word, and the third thing is there are miraculous signs. In verse 10, you'll see, and they saw the star, and they rejoiced, they were exceedingly glad with great joy. The glory of the Lord was leading them. Again, when you get into different texts and you see this and there's a star, now it doesn't tell us specifically in the Word what it was. And some people that have a background in astronomy and other things, they talk about the alignment and what it could have been, or a meteor, or all these kinds of things. I, as your pastor, I am so simple. I'm just simple. I just know that when Moses was stuck, the glory of God led them into that promised land. That God just shows up. God shows up. You can't figure it out. He just shows up. I think that this is just the glory of God. This light, this star, whatever it is, it's the glory of God. It's God. I'm going to lead you. It's God, because you're seeking me. And you know my word. And I'm going to lead you. It's a wondrous thing. You're going to look and see, this. How could this have happened? I mean, God's with me. This is miraculous. This wasn't what I thought. It's better than I thought. It's because God is leading you. And there are signs. And signs always follow the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They don't go in front. Seek God through His Word and the Spirit of God. And signs will be there. Set your heart to know God, and God will reveal His glory to you. Just like when Christ was born, the shepherds were in the field. The glory of the Lord was all around them. That's what I'm talking about. The glory of God, the direction of God. Now, I said that there's two points here this morning, and one is they sought Him. So that's what they're doing. They're seeking Him. So for me, I want to seek God in ways I never have before. when I look at this, I realize how important the life of the Spirit is to really wait and depend upon the Spirit of God. You know how much we love the Word of God here. We'll never stray from the Word of God. We're a ministry that believes in the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. We believe in the Bible. Right now in the world, there's so many opinions regarding marriages and other things out there, and they're coming in, and there's attacks against the church. Listen, I'll just tell you right now, here's the deal. My answer is from the Bible. And if you don't like the answer from the Bible, take it up with God, because He's the one that said it, and you don't have to take it up with me. Just take it up with Him. He'll solve it with you, okay? Because we believe in God's Word. And all of that, hopefully, will be with grace and love, but with deep conviction. We will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for the men, Pastor Chuck Smith and so many others through the year that have influenced my life, and we're in fellowship with them and moving ahead in a direction as the foundation is solid. And I'm so grateful for that, because listen, here it is. We're not here promoting any church or denomination. We're here proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the body of Christ and anyone else who'd be interested. Amen? And my instructions, here they are, from Jesus Himself. Will you love these people? Will you care for these people? Will you feed these people? Will you help equip these people to be servants? Servants of the Lord. That's it. Amen? Amen? Love it. I can do that by God's grace. Uh-oh, I hear an audible. Watch it, Pastor. Now, what they brought to Him, and we see it here, and it's no surprise to most of us, it's a gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it's very interesting. Gold represents sovereignty. He's the king. He's the ruler, it tells us. This Jesus is the king. And again, in verse 2 and verse 6, it speaks about, where is he who is born king of the Jews? Verse 6, we see him as the ruler. He's the shepherd of my people Israel. Jesus Christ is king, and they bring gold to the king. Now, question. Have you crowned the king? Have you crowned Jesus as the king of your life? You see, the way it works in this crazy world is we want to occupy the throne. We want to be in charge. We want to wear the crown. Look at me. And Jesus comes and humbles us. And we say, I want to look at you. And when we look at Him, we need to remove the crown and give it to the One. And what we're saying is, I surrender to you, and I surrender to your lordship and to your rule. Everything that I own, everything that I have is from you. My very next breath is from God. Everything is from Him. And I want to honor Him with my best. We see that in verse 11, that's where we're seeing these gifts. And we're seeing the response, by the way, of the wise men. Because what they did is they fell down and they worshiped Jesus. And it's been made very clear in the Bible from the very beginning to today that we worship no one but God, only God. Any other worship is idolatry. We worship the Lord. Jesus, in His own ministry in Matthew 22, says regarding paying tribute to a king, He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And it's interesting, because they had a coin, and they were challenging Jesus, trying to get Him in a predicament about paying taxes. And He says, do you have a coin? And they took it out. And it says, whose image is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus then says, well, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God's. And I'm telling you right now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, His image is on you. The image of God is stamped on you. Render to God the things that are God's. Yesterday, I had a privilege of being with my pastor friend, Scott Vincent from Edmonds, and I've known him and his family for 30 years. And so his mother was in her 90s, and she had taken very sick and had died, and we were able to do a memorial service celebrating her life yesterday. And I tell you, those are not easy for me by any means, and especially with somebody that we're just, our hearts are knit together very tightly as well. And so in some ways, it's like doing my own mom's memorial. And Scott, he could barely even introduce me. That's how overwhelming it was. He goes, and then Pastor Tom, that's all I can say. You just come up. So, I mean, because it's overwhelming, those moments are. Now, there was four boys in their family. And their dad left at a young age. So mom raised these four boys in the Seattle area, Ballard area. His oldest brother died at a teenage young age because of poor choices. And Scott saw that about his brother, and he started to make good choices. But seeing the brothers right there before and ministering as well. One of the granddaughters sent a letter. And she sent a letter, and I read that letter. Barely. It was tough to get through. It was so good. She's actually experiencing saying goodbye to her own son, who's only around 4 years old right now. That's how sick her son is. But she wrote this letter because grandma was so important in her life. And a couple of nuggets here. She mentioned in this letter three things specifically. She mentioned the couch. She mentioned the candy drawer. And she mentioned Christmas. The couch, because she lived with grandma when she went through the University of Washington, where she graduated. But she lived with grandma. And that couch was a couch that had a lot of in-depth conversations that I wish we could hear right now. But it was on that couch. You know, I would imagine we all have a couch or two at our place where we live. But listen, I would say that we're probably challenged on whether or not we're taking time on the couch to talk. Meaningful conversations amongst spouses, children, whatever. Every home seems to have a couch. But is it a place that is going to be noted as a place where I could talk? A place where I could share my heart? How about that candy drawer? We're grandparents. We know all about that. My children right now say, where was that, by the way, growing up? But there has to be a sweet spot in your home. A sweet place. Something that is special. You know what I'm saying? Something special. Something that's just there. It's just there. It's a blessing. It's just there. You should have one. Let me know if you do. I'll come visit. You should have a candy drawer, a special place. And the last was Christmas. Because Christmas is a time that we can build and strengthen important memories. It's important. Christmas can be challenging in a lot of ways for all of us. I mean, there's all things that can go into the mix. But we have choices to make. Why don't we make some choices about trying to stop the intensity of life in the world and everything encroaching in on us? And why don't we determine how to make this season, this Christmas time that we're talking about, the heart of Christmas? Can the heart of Christmas be found in you? Can the heart of Christmas be found in your home? Can you make that? Can you consider that? Hey, this is the very beginning of December. This message wouldn't get a lot in January, but it's good right now. We got the possibility of a lot of application before us. Amen? Just a couple more thoughts here. So we talked about the gold and giving God our best. And even as a ministry, you know, we trust that as you pray and as you help the ministry here, we're greatly blessed by that. But it's in a way where it has to be between you and the Lord to determine, God, how can I be a blessing to this house of faith and to this family? Honor God with your best, with your resources, your money. Honor God your best with your time. Honor God with your talent, the gift that he's given to you. The second thing was frankincense, and that was an ingredient that was put in to make a sweet perfume, and it was found in the tabernacle in the temple, and it was used to worship God, sacred for the use of God alone. And that's what they had. Even it tells us in Exodus 30, verse 37, "But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourself according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord." And so that's what that was. And so when they came with gold, you're the king. When they came with frankincense, it was a sinless, holy life that they were recognizing. And that incense was for God alone. Not only is he the king, but he's God. Not only is Jesus the King of kings and the Lord of lords, but he is God and ruler of everything and ruler of your life. And that's what's under attack right now. Jesus Christ is God. Well, I think he's a great teacher. Well, he didn't give you that option. He is a wonderful teacher, by the way. He's a great prophet. He proclaimed himself to be God. And if he's not God, then you're falling under a false witness. He is God. No negotiation at all. And they know that. And that's why they worship him. You would not worship anybody but God. And then lastly, we see myrrh. And myrrh is for death. And not only is he the king, and not only is he God, but he is the savior of the world. And they give him that. In the very beginning, he was born to die. He came into this world naked, and he was put onto a cross the same way, naked, in humility. That's our Savior. He came to die for the sins of the world. And the shadow of the cross followed him his entire life. You know, just something else to think about before we close in prayer. If all somebody can talk about is Christmas, as a Christian, you just talk about Christmas, which is wonderful. You've heard my message, but I have a problem. I'll always talk about Christmas, but I'll talk so much more about the cross. Jesus was in a cradle, but that was not his destination or purpose. It was a cross. And Christians, we need to talk about the cross of Christ, because it's death, burial, and resurrection that gives us eternal life in him. And as we are ministering, as you're ministering to people, to know with certainty that we have eternal life means everything. I walk away this morning as I leave here today, and I think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think of what I've been talking about, the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the signs of God. I want to be seeking God. And I think about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I think about giving God my best because He's King. I think about worshiping Him because He is God alone and He is deserving of my worship. And we had communion and it causes us to think of that sacrificial life. And for me to walk away and to think about Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As the worship team comes up for that final song right now, and as we all stand at the same time, Pam and I were in a retail store recently, and very nice retail person helping us out mentioned that we have this musical because it was mentioned of a child about 6 years old in their family. He says, you'd love to come. And I used to teach Sunday school was the response. Fantastic. You taught Sunday school. Well, I used to. I used to get paid to teach Sunday school. You did. Evidently, you didn't come to Calvary Chapel, but just so that you know, all of our time on Sundays, mine included, it's all volunteer time, just so you know that. She taught Sunday school. I said, well, what happened? Well, I got to be a bartender, and it paid more money. Pam's looking at me. Don't say it. No. I say, hey, that's not bad. Do you have any flannel graph left? That's a great place. You put the flannel graph board, show the story of Christmas. Do you need anything else? No, that's all. Okay, bye. Anyways, I'm just saying, people go a lot of different places in their life. They once were in a place that's called the house of God. They once were in a place where there's the Spirit of God and the Word of God and encouragement of God. And the world wants to pull us apart in a way. We want to stand strong with Jesus, and we do that because we're seeking Him. We're seeking Him, and we're bringing to Him our best. Amen? We'll have this worship song and close in prayer in a minute. Amen? Amen. Remember, whose image is on you? It's Christ. So give to Christ the things that are Christ. Christ in you, that's what makes Christmas so wonderful. The hope of Christmas is because Christ is in us. So let's seek Him. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the work God wants to do through His signs. He wants to move. He wants to do miraculous things. Bring Him your best gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That frankincense, that smell of Christ, that aroma of Christ in your life. To live for Him. To die for Him. To glorify Him with your life. If we could pray for you, anyone afterwards.